The Spinoff Podcast Network. Skinny are helping you show how smart you are with the 1Q Quiz, an all-new, super challenging and super quick daily quiz built by The Spinoff. Every Monday, Skinny are giving you the chance to prove you're smart with the Skinny Extra Credit question. Get it right, and you'll get the chance to score yourself some Skinny Extra mobile credit so you can text, call, or even video call your group chat and gloat about how big your brain is. T's and C's apply.
The Fold is brought to you by oOh!media, making brands unmissable and public spaces better across Aotearoa. No mai, hoki mai, kia The Fold. E mihi nei, ko Duncan Grieve tōkong wā. This is a monopod, just me this week. I wanted to talk about the New Zealand TV Awards, which happened last week, and they were a really interesting event that raised a few things that kind of have been buzzing around in my head since. This is also kind of related to the a piece I wrote for the newsletter Rec Room, which, so if you subscribe to that and have read that, you know I'll forgive you for turning off, because I'll traverse some of that ground. Also, one thing I'd really love for you to do, if you can, is support our Pledge Me. What's Eating Aotearoa. If you go to our site, you should be able to navigate to that. We're in the final days of it. We're pretty close to our target of $50,000 to tell a whole year's worth of stories about Kai and Aotearoa. So, if you're listening, you're a fan of what we do, there are some really good rewards available for people who pledge to support us. So the TV Awards, they've been going in one form or another for decades, but they actually sort of fell away in the early 2010s to the point where you would expect, given all of the way that digitization of media was kind of coming in, that might have been the end of them. But a group of people got together and revived them in, I think, 2017, and they've been going ever since. And I think the whole of the sort of screen sector should be really grateful to that group, because I think awards really matter. I think we lived through this period where there's a huge amount of sort of just a sense of impermanence, and that, you know, I mean, Oscar Keightley, the TV legend, who I'll talk a bit more about later, you know, said, if, you know, jokingly during his speech, that if we don't get together and get pissed and have an event like this, you know, did our work really happen? And he was sort of joking, but I think it's kind of true that it once a year, trying in whatever imperfect way you do, figure out what the best of what you made as a group was, it sort of marks time, and it says that what you do is important. And, you know, New Zealand is a country with, I think, probably more awards per capita than any other. And sometimes it can feel a little bit over the top, like and like it becomes a bit of an obsession for the sector that's looking at it. But I think TV, because of the scale of the audience, it's important to take a moment to kind of reflect on what you've done. And especially in an era where criticism, which is the other great sorting mechanism that we have, you know, it's going away. It's, you know, if you listen to that podcast I did with Chris Schultz a couple of weeks ago, you can kind of, you know, feel that sense that there is a real sort of thinning of the critical ranks going on. You know, especially when I think about the kind of era that I grew up on, when there was just a huge amount of criticism, and, you know, being a full-time critic was a totally plausible job to aspire to. You know, not an easy one to get, but they existed in a way that they don't particularly anymore. So you know, I think it's really important that you have events like this. The event itself was run really well. It was hosted by Kura Forrester at the Viaduct Event Centre. It moved briskly, had a bunch of sort of guest hosts. That's where there's this huge structural advantage that TV has within an award show, in that, you know, you can put bits of TV shows up on a screen and they're really powerful, and the performers naturally kind of love the stage and typically, you know, they've got that star power, which makes the thing pop in a way that it might not in a, you know, sort of a less glamorous industry. So I think it's fantastic that we have these awards and we should treasure them. There are a couple of kind of themes that come out of it that I think I want to talk about and sort of dig into. But before I do that, I just want to kind of quick hit a few results from the awards, which I thought were particularly interesting. The first is like, you know, on some level, very indulgent of me. The personality of the year is a fan voted award, and it's typically won by like a Hilary Barry or someone like that, just a really big beloved national figure. This year's was won by Aisha Scott, who I reckon easy 90% of the room hadn't heard of. So she's up there making her this really tearful, heartfelt speech, and the room is kind of, it's not quite in a hostile way, it's just quite in a huh kind of a way. So Aisha Scott is a New Zealander who is a chief stew on the Below Deck franchise. She's basically a star of Below Deck Down Under, which is shot in Australia, but has also been on multiple seasons of Below Deck Mediterranean. The other podcast, which I've done until recently, The Real Pod, we've recapped Below Deck, and my colleague Alex Casey has written, I think persuasively, about why she thinks it's the best reality show format on the planet right now. And Aisha is dead set one of the biggest stars within that world, and yet completely unknown at home. So that was a cool moment for me. And she's moved back to New Zealand. I think she's going to be a star, so just kind of watch out for her. Oscar Keightley, as I said, winning the TV Legend Award. Until you hear his career sort of read out as Twila Blakely, who introduced him, you just can't get a sense of just how broad and sort of diverse it is. You know, from Pacific Underground to Skits and Naked Samoans and Bro Town to Harry, you know, one of the best dramas, I think, of this that we produced this century. There's just been, and I'm barely scratching the surface of it, it's just an enormously productive career that he's had in the industry, and you know, really great to see him acknowledged in that way. Shorten Street won an award. That doesn't happen very often. Shorten Street can feel like it's quite maligned within the industry, even though, you know, some decent percentage of the people on stage, including people like Rena Owen and Kyle McNaughton, who won, you know, big awards or presented awards, you know, owe something to that show. But the award they won was particularly interesting. It was best script for a drama. And, you know, if you think about the volume that they have to produce out of that show, really, really impressive to be nominated at all, let alone to scoop that one up. The big awards winners, The Gone, picked up 5 awards. That's a, like after the Party, which I expect to just absolutely dominate next year's. It wasn't eligible for this year's awards. It's a co-produced drama with funding from, I think it's Ireland and New Zealand. And it just shows that we have, you know, to get to that extra level, you know, you kind of just do need a bit more money. And, you know, I don't think it's a coincidence that 2 of the most acclaimed dramas that we produced in recent years both came out of the Te Puna Kairangi Fund, which basically allowed for just extra money to make those shows. And, you know, I don't know what the solution is, because invariably that means bigger bets and more losers effectively, but there is something in the fact that those shows are likely to travel and grow the industry more than, you know, a sort of an alternative which might have been a bit lower budget would have. Princess Kale of Chaos picked up 3. That's the Bevan Chuang story, and was won some big awards on the night. The Fold is brought to you by O-Media, making brands unmissable and public spaces better across Aotearoa, with over 4,000 out-of-home advertising sites nationwide across both street furniture and retail centres. I'm super grateful to O-Media for enabling us to make unmissable connections with Kiwis.
Raising capital or taking your business to the world? Investment Fix has the lowdown on everything you need to make it happen. This season, we're exploring the US market, the opportunities it offers, what it takes to grow a business there, and the best way to approach investors. Join some of the superstars of the investment and business world as they share advice from their time in the US so you can make your mahi count in this massive market. The Investment Fix podcast, brought to you by Invest New Zealand. Tune in today.
So now I want to move into one of the sort of the things I think is a bit challenging about these awards. Both Princess of Chaos and The Gone play on TVNZ. TVNZ News also won almost all the big awards in that category. And so TVNZ ultimately picked up about 25 of the roughly 37, 38 awards that it was eligible for. And you know, the next highest was Warner Brothers Discovery, which broadcast 3 with 5. And when you just think about that disparity, when it's the second year in a row that it's been that tilted, you know, it starts to feel like these are the TVNZ awards rather than the NZTV awards. And for the other players who sort of, for them to sort of show up and watch this thing be kind of completely dominated by that platform. You know, this is a costly enterprise. For a lot of the people, these things really matter. They mean a lot. And to just to have to show up and, you know, in a lot of cases fiscally support the thing when it feels like it exemplifies the way that the table feels like it's a little bit tilted towards TVNZ within the screen at the moment. That's not TVNZ's fault, to be clear. Like, they had a structural advantage of just much higher ratings, and they have parlayed that into really investing heavily into TVNZ Plus as a platform. They've done exactly what they're meant to do, but the specter of the government-owned media company stopping delivering dividends, heavily investing in the future in a way that the private sector competition just can't do, and then that manifesting in an awards dominance at this scale, it does just, I don't know, it makes you a little bit queasy and concerned potentially for the future of the awards, you know, and so that's, it's just a thing to pay attention to. The second thing I want to mention, like I sort of feel a bit torn, I've written about it though, so I might as well go in, is The awards happened on the National Māori Day of Action, you know, this which Te Pāti Māori prompted in response to what is widely seen as a bundle of policies in the new, coming out of the new coalition, which are seen as sort of anti-Māori, anti-titiriti, and they're, so that was in the air, and it was always going to be in the air. The TV awards, like most kind of arts culture spaces, they're inherently very close to politics, and they typically have a sort of a fairly left-leaning constituency. That's all in the game, right? But there was, and I'm not, you know, like, and there were some statements made from the stage, for example, you know, after opening from Ngāti Whātua, Kura Forrester, the host said, you know, any national voters in the House need a translator, and brought the House down. Great line. But there were no national MPs in the House. The, you know, obviously the House had, you know, the government had been sworn in the day before in Parliament sitting. So, you know, while Willie Jackson had flown up, it's totally normal for you know, for a clash like that to mean that you don't have a lot of representation in the House. But there was just a general hostility towards the government, which, like I say, for people who've been working really hard to revitalize Te Reo Māori, or to, you know, to tell stories that feel like they're, you know, almost implicitly under attack by this suite of policies, I get that. But this is an industry which is very largely taxpayer funded. You know, I think I'm just going to stab in the dark guess at somewhere between sort of 50 and 70% of the shows or of the people in the room. Ultimately, it's a taxpayer dollar that paid for the production of the thing that they worked on. And, you know, whether we like it or not, we just had an election in which 55-odd% of the population voted for the parties that are, and they have come up with this kind of Frankenstein coalition and agreement, and that's just democracy. It's messy. And when you, as an industry, feel like you're sort of hostile to over half the population, when 100% of the population pay you your wages, there is a tension there. You just can't pretend that there isn't. And you can't pretend that the process of paying for funding our arts and culture, you know, that it's just going to happen as of right because it's important. You know, that's great if we lived in a world where it was like that, but we do live in a world where the budget of RNZ or New Zealand On Air or the New Zealand Film Commission or the very existence of the screen production grants, all this whole lattice of stuff that you know, is all broadly favourable to the industry, were it to be reduced to just good luck to you against the market, it would be a tiny fraction of what it is, both in terms of what it creates and its the sort of consequence and cultural power that it possesses. So, you know, while I totally believe in truth to power and the importance of the fourth estate and all that stuff, obviously, you know, I work at the spinoff, don't I? There's part of me that thinks that you've got a government that is already kind of looking for an excuse. You know, they're looking to save money, for starters. David Seymour is on record as opposed to the screen production grants or rebates, sorry. Winston Peters has already gone to war with the media, and we've got a mini budget coming on December 20th. And I don't think it's crazy to imagine that the media, which is already troubled, like ratings have been really, really poor in television this year. That's still the biggest driver of cash into the industry. And the balance of it is just not, you know, the digital side, the subscription side is not sufficiently scaled yet, might never be, to kind of counteract those revenue losses. Everyone's been laying people off this year. My sort of spidey sense is that there is a potential kind of more scorched earthy scenario where that sort of, you know, I think there's a 6.5% desire for 6.5% reduction in costs or headcount across the public service. Some places they won't be able to achieve that. They'll be looking to achieve more of it in others. So, you know, how is the media going to fare in this new government? We really haven't seen a good tell out of them yet. Understandable, they've got bigger things to do, but yeah, there was part of me that just sort of heard the general vibe from the stage and thought, I wonder how that will land with our new government. But yeah, it was a fun event. I really enjoyed it, but I just hope that one way or another the sunset isn't coming, because I do think the industry really, really benefits from having an awards ceremony like that. That was the end of the podcast. That was what my intention was, to leave it there. And then I woke up this morning, recording this Friday the 8th of December, and the Media Insider, he did it again. He had the scoop that Ryan Bridge will be the host of 3's new 7 p.m. show. I was sort of halfway there, but I knew that it wasn't Paddy, and was ready to report that in Rec Room. But Shane's very good at what he does, Herald Shane Curry, and he had the exclusive and an interview with Ryan Bridge. I think that's a really, really interesting move, and I'll just sort of, I wanted to talk a little bit about why. So firstly, I've long felt that New Zealand has a weird, kind of a matcher problem. Like, our media organisations spend too much time looking at one another and try to create products that you know, functionally replicate what the other does. And, you know, you see that with like NZME's got Flavor and MediaWorks has got MyFM. You know, they're just all across the sort of, you see a lot of it in radio, but you see it with Canvas and Sunday. Just the whole of our media, there is a real kind of, if they've got one, then we need to have one kind of quality. And you really saw it with Seven Sharp and the project. Now, they were actually more different in some respects than they, you know, the closer you look, the more they were differentiated. But fundamentally, they were, you know, lifestyle-y type shows. There was some current affairs in them, more so in the project, but certainly they were cut from a similar cloth, and they were really different from what they replaced, which was the, you know, the 7 p.m. current affairs show historically was, you know, obviously the big daddy of them all was Holmes, and that went on to create Close Up and Campbell Live. And, you know, there was a period there where we had three or maybe even four of these things running head to head. They were all kind of, we can over mythologize these things. They had their silly segments, they had their off nights, but they also had newsmakers on being given a good grilling in the way that Jack Tame and a whole bunch of people still do now, but they just don't do it in prime time. So the idea of going against that sort of move towards lifestyle-y type content and into a much harder news show out the back of the news, having longer form interviews with people in the news, I think this era where there are so many knotty issues that are sort of unfolding in front of us that warrant that kind of scrutiny, to do that in prime time, it's a fantastic move. Not guaranteeing it'll work. The whole reason that Campbell Live was cancelled and replaced with the project was because there was a theory that the public didn't have an appetite for that anymore. But most things, I think, in this industry are cyclical, and it wouldn't surprise me at all if there wasn't actually more of an appetite than we suspect for a show that has a sort of a crunchier news focus to it. The other thing that's interesting about it is where Ryan Bridge is perceived to be politically. Of all the presenters on either TVNZ or 3, Ryan Bridge is probably seen as the most kind of right-leaning. And that stands out because the rest of, you know, the balance of the presenters are either centrist, and I think a lot more are centrist than we kind of sometimes give them credit for. There's a perception of the media, the current media, as being quite left-leaning. And some in the media are, you know, avowedly so, and that's absolutely fine. And there are a lot more who genuinely work very hard to hold the centre, and that's also to be commended. But I'm personally a believer in a media that has diverse perspectives within it, and I think when you have a television sector that broadly either has centrist people or left-leaning people, that is part of what creates this general kind of grumpy disposition towards the media, because let's face it, 55% of people just voted for the three parties that are in government now, and a lot of those people don't feel that their views are regularly represented on television in terms of, you know, coming from a particular presenter. You know, and you could see this in like I went to the finale of the project a week ago today, and, you know, Mark Richardson was the sort of token right winger on a show that, you know, naturally had a kind of centre left disposition, I think it's fair to say. And he made this joke about how he was happy to be, or he's fine to give up his job because he'd succeed in his mission to get National back into government. And it was a joke, but, you know, Mark Richardson is genuinely like a right-leaning guy who's contemplated running for the National Party, but he was the outlier in that environment. And And that says something about how frequently those views are represented in broad mainstream television environments. Not that there isn't, like, you know, the biggest radio show in New Zealand is Mike Hosking's Breakfast. So it's not hard to find a shitload of right-wing media. I'm not going to argue that in print, online. But on television, it has just, it's gone from being the default, like, you know, like that was a lot of our media used to be kind of right-leaning to being kind of weirdly hard to find. So I think from Three's perspective, to have a single host and have that person be politically a bit outside of the general thrust of the mainstream, that's just like a really interesting move. And Three is in a bit of a hole right now. It's the shows aren't rating particularly highly. You know, some of that's cyclical and seasonal, but it is, you know, TVNZ's had a really strong run, and it needs to try something. It can't just stand pat and expect things to change. I'm not saying this will work, but I really understand the move to do this. I also think that, to give Ryan Bridge his credit, I don't think that just because there's a perception that he has this position that he won't go hard at everyone. I'm not saying that at all. But I do think that there's a whole group of people who I think have turned off television, not just because there's all this great stuff available in digital environments, but because they don't feel like their side gets a fair shake, rightly or wrongly. And I'm not, you know, I think a lot of the time that stuff is way over-egged, like it actually isn't nearly so bad as it's perceived to be. But having someone who you know, comes from a different side of the aisle, I do think it's a smart move, irrespective of whatever your politics might be, that there's, you know, you've got to try something in this era. And I think they're smart to have done that. So that is all I wanted to say on what I think is a subtly quite interesting piece of positioning. And even if you disagree with it, one final point, even if you disagree with the notion and think that Ryan Bridge is some kind of asshole, look, fair play, but you have a government right now that is sort of on record as pretty hostile and suspicious of media in some quarters. If they have, like, a person in a prominent spot who they feel like is more in their camp, it might just be that they look at the whole of the New Zealand media industry, the news media, and think, well, actually it's starting to kind of rebalance itself a bit, you know, after maybe a period where, for all kinds of, you know, COVID and related reasons, it got a bit out of whack. That's the perception on their side. If they look at this as a rebalancing, then even if you don't believe in the Ryan Bridges project, this might end up being a good thing for the whole media, because it might temper some of the kind of scorched earth tendencies that people like, you know, a David Seymour or a Winston Peters might have when they're in sort of high dudgeon mode. Yeah, so that's my take on the Ryan Bridge at 7 p.m. story. Thanks for listening. This was The Fold. That was The Fold, brought to you by our partners at oMedia, making brands unmissable and public spaces better across Aotearoa. Huge thanks to oMedia for sponsoring this episode of The Fold and enabling us to make unmissable connections with Kiwis.
Ready to rediscover the joys of cycling? With over 300 kilometres of cycle paths across Tāmaki Makaurau, jumping on your bike and going for a ride is such a fun way to discover the city from a different perspective. Cycling is getting more and more popular across Auckland, so now's a great time to join the hype and give cycling a go. Head to at.govt/cycling to find your nearest cycleway today. The Spin-off Podcast Network.